All right, thank you. And I was the agronomic portion of this, and Bob did, and Kristen were doing more of the microbiology of it. So if I'm a little bit rusty on some parts, I want to apologize right now. But I want to skip the first to the second slide and then go back. Because you may not be familiar with what the solar corridor is. And what it is, really Leroy Dykeman came up with this and some others, that this idea that if we can keep the population the same of corn out in the field, but have some corridors, like you see here on your left, where the light can get down to the whole complete corn system, we could possibly increase yields if we had corn hybrids that could respond to it. But think about this. When you go to a cornfield, where's your highest yields at? You walk into a field, right on the edges, aren't they? Why? More light. It's the same thing. This way, we could get more light to all the corn throughout the whole field. If I traveled up, the previous was in Wisconsin, traveling up to your place, I noticed a lot of strip tillage. Strip, where strips of alfalfa, strips of corn. Why are they doing that? I think right here, same principle, getting more light to those outside leaves, maybe we can increase yield. In this particular field here, they have twin rows. We have twin rows of corn about 7.5 inches apart that they planted with a full row missing. So this way, you've got this sun corridor through there. And we wanted to find out if this would work. So let's go back a little bit. So what we want to do, though, we have done some research, and Kelly Nelson published this, that, yeah, there is a response on yield on this portion. But now what Bob and his lab wanted to do, what's happening inside that corridor? Is there something going on with the soil microbiology? So we want to look at that. Does it increase? Does it impact root growth of the corn hybrid itself? And do these roots exudate carbon that can influence microbial growth? So are we looking at changes there? And also what kind of diversity we get. And of course, the ultimate thing is, do we have changes in soil quality? So we want to look at then, how does this sun corridor affect soil quality? So our objective then, as I mentioned, assess the biological and biochemical soil quality factors in the sun corridor or cropping system, and then relate these changes to soil quality index. So as you can see here on your left is a normal corn field, and then on your right would be the typical sun corridor. All right, this is in mid-Missouri. I can tell you we're 6.5 hours from Eric's home, because my daughter lives where you live. So I've traveled that quite a bit. We are in the central Missouri clay pan soils. What they say is that we're farming the subsoil of Iowa. It's poorly drained. We haven't gotten the last two glaciers, so it's very old soils, very poorly drained soils. So we have some problems with this. So our yield potentials aren't there. Maybe this is a way that we could increase our yield potential. We've done this for the last 2 years. I've been involved in it. As you can see, we have different hybrids. We have the Micogen and the Master's Choice, or mostly in Augusta. Those are flex ear corns. Those are the type of corn that will respond to a larger ear very robustly if given the area. Whereas your DeKalb 6297 is one it's a commercially grown one now. This one is for high populations. It's going to have a decent size ear on it. It's not going to respond to population as much, because we wanted to control the compare these two. Now you'll notice in 13 we didn't have as many hybrids. My fault. I did not realize that some of these were not glyphosate resistant. So when I came back with a post-emergent application, I killed 4 of them. That was a sick feeling when you do something like that. But that happens. So we did this with and without the sun corridor, as you can see, and Bob took measurements of soil moisture, soil organic carbon, total N, soil root density, grain yield, biomass yields, and glucosinase. How do you say that? Glucosinase. I'm not a microbiologist, and I messed that up just the other day. But we'll get that in just a little bit. Okay, let's look at the root densities. What we noticed is two of these, right here, of the flex type, inside that southern corridor had more root densities, a significant amount. Also, just opposite though, the DeKalb, which is not a flex, it actually had less. So maybe the roots didn't grow out into that sun corridor as much. But keep this in mind, that these two, ZV711 and the other one, actually had more. Because we'll see that again. Chlorophyll readings, Bob took these at R2. Now that's right on the silking, flowering silking, and he took this out of the ear leaf. That you can see here, this one, as well as some of these other ones, has significant increase in SPAD readings of that leaf in the sun corridor. 2014, very similar of the same ones. Now, why is this? Is this simply because we have this break here, and the corn plants have more nitrogen, they're taking up more? Well, our population is the same. We haven't really changed population. Possibly, then, we're really getting greener plants, that's what the SPAD readings are telling us, greener plants because of this sun corridor. And that's what we're measuring, hopefully. Okay, now, this gives us an indication of the total enzymes, microbial enzymes in the soil. It doesn't give them different categories, but it gives them really good information about that. And look here again, the one that had the biggest root system, as well as chlorophyll readings, is higher again, as well as one of these other ones that also had more root density. So we are seeing in some hybrids an increase, a change in the sun corridor. But back here on the other one, the DeKalb that is not a flex here, we don't really see much of a difference. So we are seeing a difference between different hybrids. Active carbon. Now, active carbon is something that I've worked with quite a bit. And if you're not familiar with that, soil carbon is in three different categories. There's that very, very, very stable that's been there for 1,000 years. It's not going very far. And then there's the other one that's in between, maybe in the last 10 years. But then there's that active carbon. This is the carbon that's being turned over very, very quickly. This is what our soil microorganisms like to feed on. So this is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to see what are the microorganisms seeing out there. And where's it going to be coming from? The corn root exudates. Remember, some of them had more root density into the corridor. Now, Bob forgot to put the statistics on it, so I called him and emailed and asked him. As we see, this one, the Bovito, and AV717 were higher in the active carbon inside there. So again, that shows us then that we are getting some response in these corn hybrids to having this soil corridor out here. And when Bob graphed active carbon on the y-axis against the enzyme activity, he found that there was a very good correlation and that most of this change can be explained by the soil active carbon. So hopefully that is showing us that by having more root exudates, more active carbon, we are increasing the amount of microbial activity in the sun corridor. Of course, not everything works, which is understandable. We didn't get a lot of interaction between the soil enzymes and the SPAD readings and root density, which may be okay, but we are seeing some changes in the active carbon. And again, as I mentioned before, that may stimulate the rhizosphere microbial activity, and that's what we're seeing here. Now remember, it is a hybrid difference. Now, I don't know why Bob put preliminary on there, because I took these, I know they're right. But what we found, this was last year, that sure enough, ZV17 and this Avitka both had higher yields by having this sun corridor in there. So it was stimulating yields and they were increasing. Very little change in the fixed ear hybrid. And then this one, than show any. So it is very hybrid specific, and I think it's really going to be morphology of the plant specific also. I will tell you, last Wednesday and Thursday I harvested 2014. I didn't know what the treatments were. All I had was a plot map when I was doing it. But it was very interesting because I was harvesting one row at a time because I wanted to see how far this influence happened. It was very interesting to see how some hybrids would really react to having the soil corridor where others wouldn't. And it was pretty consistent because I could kind of, the number four, I had no idea what number four, which treatment that was, but it was consistent, all four reps. Okay, we also had these crop corridors in here also. I mean, we had some plantings inside this. 2013, we didn't have anything. 2012, we had some oats and some clover. The bursting clover didn't do real good, you can imagine, in the middle of a drought. But this past year, we had these cowpeas in there. Think about this. These things are fairly short growing. They're not really going to interfere with the sunlight to the corn, but they also are going to give us a diversity there, maybe interaction with the corn roots, and really start increasing our biological activity. So what can we do next year? We can shift this then and have the Southern Corridor plants, the corn, where we had the Southern Corridor this year, it can be on top of that. Those corridors have lots and lots of activity, and then maybe that should even increase our corn yields even more. So that's what we want to do is rotate back and forth between the two areas. Also, we try to run our rows north and south to get the full sun in the morning and then in the evening. So, in summary, the Sun Corridor cropping system enhanced microbial activity. And it was some on root density. We had some, but the big difference was the carbon composition and that effect on the microbial structure and the functional diversity. So that seems to be what's the most important for what we're doing. And maybe, just maybe, this is helping or a good indication of why we're getting some yield response out of this. Because it is hybrid dependent, and that's what we want to look at further to see which ones respond even more. And of course, as always, we need more work to figure out what's going on. But I think it's an interesting phenomenon, and I know it's not a phenomenon, but a process, and we will work on it some more. And by the way, this was in the Agronomy Journal here in the last issue, so it's somewhat catching on. And Bob wanted to say we had several references that talk about what we're doing here. With that, I'm finished. Any questions? I won't be able to answer. Yes, ma'am.
Can you talk a little
bit about the equipment and maybe the challenges for scaling this up, either solar corridor or cell corridor? Oh, sure. The question was about scaling this up to be able to do this, because it does it need to be some different ones? Well, when Kelly Nelson did this the first couple of times, he had a twin row planter. And he got his responses from that, and that's published in the Agronomy Journal. I don't have a twin row planter, so what we did instead is that when we planted it, we just didn't plant every other one. And that's how we got our sudden corridors that way. And what we're also looking for then is, do we do every other one? Or what I was interested in, how far does that influence of that corridor go? Does it go one or two rows? So we can look at that also. That's one of the things that we want to look at. So I believe on that part, we can use just regular equipment. Now, how do you get that cover crop inside that corridor? That's a little bit differently. I don't know if you saw the poster or the talk from Penn State where they're planting cover crops into standing corn when it's real little. You're using a drill, something like that. That could be a possibility. If you watch the rainfall, you might be able, when you cultivate or spray or whatever you want to do, is put some on then. What kind of surprised me is that we use full herbicides on this, and the cowpea didn't seem to be hurt. Because that's another consideration, too. Now, if you're into organic, it probably fits even better because that crop inside the corridor can help control more robust weeds. I saw a question here.
Yeah,
How we measure the active carbon? That's that potassium permanganate test. We're using that. Yes, sir. Sure. Yeah, the question was, are we going to go back in and determine when we saw this increase in microbial activity, is it bacterial, is it fungal, or is it a combination, or what have you? And the answer is yes. We just haven't gotten that far yet, because that takes quite a long time to get to do all that. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Oh, sure, let's go back. Oh, what's the difference in the corridor? The corridor is in that blank area where the monoculture would be between two normal rows of corn.
And the kernel crop, what's the difference between the kernel crop and the in-cropping? Because we cultivated two species of crops in the field, and we call it as
intercropping. Oh, intercropping, yes.
I'm not sure what's the difference between the
intercropping
and
the sun corridor. Yeah, the question is, well, what's the difference between this and intercropping?
Yeah.
Aren't you doing the same exact thing?
Yeah.
In a way, yes, but what we make sure is this intercrop is short enough that it's not interfering with sunlight. That's the big thing that we want to make sure this corn plant is getting saturated with corn with sunlight. Sometimes I think with intercropping we have crops growing almost the same size or somewhat a little bit different. This is definitely grown to make sure that it's not.
Okay.
All right. So we take, because we want the corn to be in the C4 plant to get the full sun. That's our goal there.